Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Solomon Tracy recording, and it is 3:05 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is June 30th. I thought we'd kick off with Bitcoin. It's down $1,300, breaking back below the $20,000 level, which is rather significant. And I think the most important point here is that Bitcoin is a liquidity barometer. So it's rolling over. And liquidity conditions continue to tighten. Now, it's also worth reminding ourselves that Jay Powell was talking last week about reducing the size of the Fed's balance sheet by between $2 and $3 trillion. They've only just begun in terms of reducing the size of the balance sheet, and they're only going at a pace of about 45 billion a month right now. And that's going to, well, they assume they're going to be able to ramp it up to 90 billion by the time we get around to September. And Bitcoin, since November of last year, is down from 70 to $18,000. And when we look at this on a longer term basis and just zoom out and look at maybe a decade of history, well, I think I've annotated this chart to highlight the big drawdowns. So Bitcoin's currently down about, or at least the peak to trough swing has been about 74%. And the one that we saw, for example, in 2019 was about 71%, and the one in 2017 through to the end of 2018 was over 80%. And we've had plenty of examples of exactly this kind of volatility in the past. And in fact, earlier on in the decade, the drawdowns were even larger, and we saw big declines, sometimes in the order of 90%. But that was very early days. And contrasting something that cost $18,000 with something that costed cents, I don't think makes a lot of sense. What we do know, though, is that money is flowing out. And that a lot of the buyers, even those that bought at a favorable price, are now underwater because they made even bigger purchases at the or close to the peaks. And companies like MicroStrategy and Block are front and center in terms of the millions and hundreds of millions and indeed billions of dollars that they committed to supporting the prices. Up in the region of $70,000. Well, now we're seeing that money coming out. We're seeing leverage starting to get squeezed out of the system. Now let's just think about consumer finance. And I've been thinking about this consumer finance question for a while now. Bread Financial is the new name for automatic data processing. And their primary business is offering third-party credit card services. And one thing that's been a feature of the market over the course of the last 7 or 8 months has been interest-free financing. So Bread Financial offers credit cards to something like 160 different companies. And a lot of those companies are offering interest-free finance. But the share is trending downwards. In fact, arguably it's accelerating lower. And there was a very pronounced downtrend between 2018 and 2020. And now the price is coming back down towards the lows put in 2020. There have been a huge number of people taking out these kinds of cards running up debts. Now we're going to see in the next year how well they're going to be able to pay them back. And Synchrony Financial is also very clearly a part of this same trend and offering this interest-free financing periods, and the share is also trending downwards. Citigroup is also the provider of credit cards, and most particularly to Home Depot. And it's also performing more in line with these very consumer-facing companies than other credit card providing companies like MasterCard or Visa, because they have been very clear relative strength leaders. But they are also further away in terms of their exposure to the market. They're basically at arm's length to the consumer, whereas these other companies are much closer to the consumer. So, but nonetheless, this is looking like further evidence of tightening. And then, of course, we have the buy now, pay later portion of the market. So, these companies are also still coming down. Affirm, for example, is down 90% and was in negative territory again in here today. So, the financial sector, particularly the leveraged consumer finance sector, is under severe stress. So, when we start to think about what kind of lead indicator that represents, well, liquidity conditions are definitely tightening. Then we have these non-bank lenders like Rocket Mortgages, which is also clearly trending down. And people are wondering, is there going to be a recession? Well, all of these finance companies that are heavily dependent on consumer demand are in very significant downtrends. So the answer clearly is yes, there's going to be a recession. Now, the next thing is, when we look at 10-year treasuries, normally, if we're going to have a recession, there would be a flight to quality. And 10-year treasury yields would be expected to contract. So they were down today and spent most of the day below 3% and caught a little bit of resistance just in the last 15 minutes. But the bigger picture here is that if we are going to have a recession, then it's likely that inflationary pressures will abate because demand will take a hit. And we're already seeing evidence of that in consumer financials. So that would create demand for bonds. When we then think about the correlation that we've had between bonds and equities, well, it's been very clear that bond prices and equity prices have been falling together this year because the stock market was heavily exposed to rising interest rates. Interest rates were rising because of inflationary pressures. Bonds are pretty much allergic to inflationary pressures. So bonds and equities fell together. And if bond yields are going to contract further, then there's the potential, at least in the short term, that stock markets will rebound in line with bond prices. So the Nasdaq was well off its low in here today, now still closing in negative territory, but it's potentially a higher reaction low. So I sold half my shorts in here today. I think that prices have come down enough that we're probably going to have more two-way action. And I think that when we look at something like the 20-year plus ETF for the treasuries, well, it's exceptionally oversold. And we're back in the region of the lows from 2018. I really don't think it's at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we're going to have a reversionary rally. I did unsuccessfully buy about 2 months ago. I was quickly stopped out, or at least I didn't have the pain threshold to hold on any longer. And now the price is rallying again and pushing up into the overhead trading range. So the trend is less consistent on the downside, and it's, I think, increasingly likely that we are going to have a reversionary rally. But that's, of course, on the assumption that volatility in commodity markets starts working in favor of a deflationary rather than an inflationary environment. Now, Brent crude was down $1.45 in here today. It was down more at one point. And if we look at the front month contract, the price got all the way up to test the high from back in March. And this looks like a lower rally high. And the September contract is down $3.22. And if this is a lower rally high, well, then it's absolutely important that we continue to see the succession of higher reaction lows, which is currently around 105, hold. If oil breaks below that level, well, then we have to start concluding that at least a short to medium term peak is in. I looked at, and I don't know yet what kind of signal this is offering, but I looked at the ratio between oil and copper in here today. So oil prices have been outperforming copper in a really impressive manner all year. And since this low in April of 2021, oil has doubled relative to copper. But since 2001, there has been this clear downtrend. So there's definitely been occasions when oil prices have outperformed copper, but they don't tend to last all that long. So now it's made a new higher high, and copper prices are breaking down. So then the question is, will oil prices accelerate lower and overtake copper on the downside? And would that be in response to slowing economic growth? Because they're both major economic lead indicators. Copper is used in every country in the world, and so is oil. Then, of course, you have the additional question about the role of copper taking over some of the demand for oil in transportation and in batteries. So that's obviously an emerging theme, and it's not there quite yet. When you have the CEO of Stellantis speaking yesterday and saying that the price of electric vehicles is going to have to come down a lot if these auto companies are going to survive, well, it's obviously then a really strong threat coming through from China. Because BYD, for example, was at a new all-time high this week. Now, it's overbought in the short term, and there's certainly potential for some consolidation. But it's a major producer of electric vehicles, and then the Chinese infrastructure is already in place for producing batteries. It's very likely that they're going to be exporting a lot more electric vehicles in future. And other Chinese auto manufacturers have been doing really quite well. So Great Wall has rebounded impressively and is pausing now between the 1,000 and 200-day moving averages. Geely Automotive, which really made all the running for the domestic sector, has a very in 2016 and 17 is also rebounding really rather impressively. And then we can think about the major, and let's see if we can find it, the major battery company, and the fact that they've come out with a new battery chemistry. So it was up in a really dynamic manner last week, and it's holding on to the majority of it in here this week. Then you had in here today, China Vanke, the CEO, coming out and saying that he thinks that the property market in China has bottomed. Now, China Vanke is Chinese royalty, and it might as well be an arm of the government because it's so incredibly well connected. And the share is now testing the succession of lower rally highs, firming from the 15 Hong Kong dollar level and the regional lows from 2016. So there is clear scope here that it's going to break on the upside. The Shanghai Property Index is also beginning to steady, and these are all state-owned companies to a greater or lesser extent, and it's rallied enough to break the short-term downtrend. So China's liquidity situation is improving. So we're really looking at two very different environments. Financial conditions in the USA are definitely tightening. Financial conditions in China, they're not loosening to nearly the same extent as they did in the West during the pandemic, but they are loosening. That should be beneficial for commodity imports. Australia's stock market pulled back really quite sharply overnight. And now the question is going to be whether that $6,400 dollar, or excuse me, point level holds. This was an awfully big downward dynamic. And if we're going to see support building, then it's going to have to start coming through in a pretty impressive manner. I think we're in a very difficult environment. Commodity prices have definitely started to roll over. And the LME Metals Index has clearly broken downwards and done so in a really dynamic manner. And this looks very similar to the kind of environment that we had in 2011. There was a lot of worries after the credit crisis that there was going to be a massive inflationary spiral. And the jump in commodity prices certainly helped to support that. Then we started to see more fiscal restraint, and the dollar peaked, and then, or excuse me, the dollar bottomed, and commodities started to roll over. Well, what we've had this year is that commodity prices have been going up in tandem with the dollar, and the dollar was a little weaker in here today. So we're seeing a lot of movement and a lot of moving around between asset classes. I think a really good example of that today was lumber. And it was limit up at one stage. So this has been an incredibly accelerated decline, coming from almost 1400 to 500 and change in the space of about 4 months, and now rebounding. So why would it rebound? Well, it was pulling back because mortgage rates were ramping higher, and therefore people didn't want to buy as many houses, and home builders weren't building as many. Any clue that the mortgage rate might start coming back down in line with interest rates or bond yields, well, then that would encourage more housing demand. So this is very similar to the argument why stocks could put in a higher reaction low and a reversionary rally in the event that bond yields continue to contract, because it would make liquidity less tight. It would improve the outlook for leveraged vehicles. And we've certainly had a really accelerated decline in lots of highly levered items. The ARK Innovation ETF, mind you, didn't successfully rally in here today. But what we are starting to see is that the immuno-oncology sector is catching a bid. So this has had an equally impressive decline. It's also starting to firm from the 2020 lows, and it was off its intra-week low in here today. And the pharmaceuticals sector generally has been firing on all cylinders, and not least because of strong cash flows and the fact that healthcare demand isn't generally economically sensitive. So there is the real potential that oil prices might be in fact peaking. Now, this isn't quite the same as saying that natural gas prices are peaking. When we look at US natural gas prices, they were down in a super dynamic manner in here today. So this is coming down hard because of the lack of export facilities. Then we can think about the UK price, and it's continuing to firm. So Europe is in a lot of trouble, and a large number of the industrial companies are in under really severe stress. So let me see if I can find the Netherlands price. So let's see if that works. And this is the Netherlands price, or not quite yet. I can pull it up right now. Well, the Netherlands price is QTT. There we go. So I'm afraid I have not learned off some of these tickers because I never had cause to look at the natural gas price in Europe before this, but it is cruising higher and closing above 100. So that's having a really making a really difficult time for companies like BASF or ExxonMobil, because they're major chemicals producers and they have intense demand for natural gas. So this is really weighing on these companies. It's making it as a very difficult environment generally for the European stock market. This isn't, of course, this could feed easily through into excessive demand or being moderated, and that industrials will represent a drag on demand for for oil prices. But of course, demand for European natural gas is likely to continue to ramp higher. And I think there is obviously the potential that carbon credits are going to become a really rather significant political football, because they're also rising, and this is obviously contributing to a really cost push in environment in Europe. So Europe having a recession is likely to have a knock-on effect for oil prices. There is obviously the potential that the USA is also going to move into a recession, and then it's going to become a national security issue. So then there's obviously the likelihood that we'll have greater liquidity provided. We're just not there yet. And until we see central banks, in fact, relenting, well, then the financial sector is likely to continue to drag. That's likely to contribute to the potential for a recession. And there is obviously the potential that we're going to have a liquidity issue evolve, because you can't have a large number of banking sectors underperforming in a really profound way without it causing a problem somewhere. So I think in the stock market, there's probably the potential for a short-term rebound. We're moving into the second quarter earnings season, and I would expect that a large number of companies are going to provide negative guidance, and that would push up valuations on the stock market, and it would lead to a choppy environment, even if bond yields are pulling back. So, we're certainly in a difficult environment, and there are portions of the market that are turning around. But certainly not in a very strong commonality way. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.